Now, let's get this one over with, right?
No, this is good. This is
good. Does that look darker next to you?
Okay, my mom and I both had the idea of writing a poem for you, and so she gave me a little paragraph, like, suggestions, and I used a couple of her lines in it, and then this is what came out of it after I finished it. Dear Pastor Charlie, what words can we say about the wonderful man you are in honor of your special day? You're a golf enthusiast, a top encourager to many by far, and as a confidant and pastor, you're way above par. Some pastors are too serious, not uplifting or as genuine, but your sermons are inspiring and relatable, like a good dose of medicine. You allow us to heckle you, and laughter in our church abounds. We feel like we've received food for the soul when each Sunday we leave Mount Calvary's grounds. You're compassionate when we're sad, generous when we need a helping hand, someone on which we can rely to listen and understand, someone to make us smile when all we want to do is cry, someone to lift us up when it's sometimes hard to even try. You're a shoulder for us to lean on, and we think that's pretty rare. But when we've needed you the most, you have always been right there. You're a singer, a believer, a true man of God. We're so glad that together we travel this sod. You've been a constant, a trusted advisor and friend. Our respect and admiration for you has no end. You've been so thoughtful and kind to Savannah and Jessup, doting as if they were relatives of your own, being a positive influence on them over the years as they've grown. So loving and supportive always of all that they do, good-hearted and joking around with them, They both really look up to you. You come to their shows, dance with Jessup in the parking lot. We wouldn't trade you for the world, so happy and blessed you're the pastor we've got. Happy birthday, love and hugs, and God bless. Susan, Brian, Savannah, Jessup, Dee, and always Joe.
Thank you. Wow. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
And you might like this.
Oh, thank you so much. Thanks again. Thank you for all the attention. Those folks are so precious.
For those visiting today,
should have. I need to practice more. No. What a wonderful thing. What a joy to stand in front of you, the pastor of Mount Calvary Church. And I think God has given us something special here, folks. I love the way that people are themselves at Mount Calvary. You walk into church, and so many people walk in church with such preconceived notions of what they're going to do. And they walk in, and they have sin. All of a sudden, when they walk in that church door, their personality changes. They've all of a sudden, oh, I'm in the spiritual place. And not at Mount Calvary. Not at Mount Calvary. And I thank God for that. Because I hate to tell you, God knows who you are. He knows everything there is to know about you. And you might as well stop trying to fool him. Amen? Amen. He knows. I'm so glad that God has given us the great freedom to be seen and known as we are here in this house of believers. Because we all make mistakes. We all have difficult times. We all have times when we're challenged. And it is such a wonderful privilege to have a church where I believe that people genuinely love one another. And they show and express that love. And I'm the most fortunate one of all to have that opportunity. You folks out here are the one we should be celebrating. But don't worry, we've got cake over here. You can see what Hattie's looking forward to out there. Yes, sirree. Yes, sirree. We'll get there. What is it? Liz Taylor told her sixth husband, I won't keep you long, so here we go. Matt, you touched my heart this morning when you shared that about Neil Armstrong, about those gentlemen who made those first steps on the moon. I can remember back when I was a 12-year-old lad, 12 years old, watching those first steps upon the moon. Now, I know some of this will not apply, but some of it, if you remember back in, everybody remember watching that? Wow. I watched it. I know you're on YouTube back there, Hunter. And that's what they make YouTube for. I know. That's what I was up in the mountains, and it is amazing. Last night I actually watched again as a program. It was 2 hours long about the whole flight, and they showed just such wonderful and such crisp pictures. Trust me, the television that I watched it on 50 years ago, I thought personally it was snowing on the moon, to be honest about it like that. You know what I'm talking about, right? And I'm looking at it and looking closer and getting closer, and yeah, there's somebody, looks like they're coming, you know. But I tell you, that moment in history was so impressive, especially to a young man, to a young boy who just was starting out, and to see things. And I remember all the wonderful comments were made that, as Matt shared, that one small step was such a great leap for mankind. And it was described as humanity's greatest feat. It was described as humanity's greatest feat. President John F. Kennedy said in 1961, "It is our goal to send a man to the moon and back safely before the end of the decade." And I thank God for all those individuals, those men and women who made such sacrifices so that his dream would come true. I love what Matt shared about them having communion before they stepped upon that moon. It just touched my heart. And I also remember one of the janitors being interviewed at NASA. And he says, somebody says, well, you're just here cleaning up. He says, no, I'm doing my part to put a man on the moon. That's what he said when they were asked. It's true. I'm doing my part to put a man on the moon. Humanity's greatest feat. Folks, for just a moment, I want to talk about God's greatest feat. I know you can remember back and you can think, if you're that old, about where you were when you watched that moon landing and hearing those phrases that just thrilled every one of our hearts when it said, the eagle has landed. And I remember when they had the heart monitors on them, they could tell the rate. And I believe that Neil Armstrong, his rate went up to almost over 150 those last few feet as they were coming down just before they landed and touched down. How excited people were because the eagle has landed. And we're just amazed that you could actually watch it on television, no matter what quality of television you were watching it on. God had his greatest feat when he overcame death. This morning, as we started to practice, and I'm going to read here scripture in just a moment. When Hattie came in and we were just sitting around here and we're getting ready for songs for this morning. And I tell you, folks, there are people who are just, they are just encouragers. They will bring a smile to your face. They will bring you an uplifting. And I knew when I heard the tears in Hattie's voice, she said, Pastor, I need a favor from you if you can help me out on this individual who I've been asked to speak at the service on this Thursday, this individual who I believe it's age 51, took his own life. I don't know the answer. I don't know why things happen. I know that God has a plan and he wants the best for each and every one of us, but I don't know why certain things happen. All I know that I find support through God's word. I find support through those brothers and sisters in Christ who uplift me the times that I'm going through such troubling times. And I know without a shadow of a doubt that God will allow you to share just what he wants you to share on Thursday, that appointed time. Because I know I've heard it time and time again from families who are hurting, and God just comes in and he just puts all the pieces into place for his glory. In the book of Matthew, 6th chapter, a verse you've heard many, many times, many, many times. I love this 6th chapter because it gives you instruction. It tells you to start out there and don't do all your charitable deeds out in public. Do things in private so that God sees. And then it talks about a model prayer that our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thinking about that. And then down in the 19th verse, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Heavenly Father, add a special blessing unto the reading of your word and open our minds and hearts for just a few minutes here, God, that we can receive that truth. Each one is an individual. We ask this in Jesus' precious name, all God's people. Amen. 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 Treasures in heaven. Mark Trammell will be here, God willing, in October, and they sing a song. It's entitled Treasures in Heaven. Treasures in Heaven. What in your life is a treasure? I heard something this week and it touched my heart. The statement was said that real wealth, it's not about money, it's not about things, but it's about the things that no amount of money could buy. Real wealth is about things that no amount of money, you wouldn't take any amount of money to sell it. My mother has a pickup over there in up in the mountains. She and my father, they They actually spent a night in this pickup. Remember, you're in church now. Don't be looking at me like that. I'm going to fill in the blanks for you. Pop, and later on in his years, his mind didn't quite work, and he went out to take a ride one afternoon, and he was given directions. They ended up over in... They went up a place on the other side of Millboro over called Padge Creek, and as they went down, there's a number of times where you ford the creek. Anybody know what ford is over there? You youngsters don't know what ford is, the creek. I catch you. Jessup, thank you for shaking your head that you don't know what it is so I can explain it to you. Those old roads back there, a lot of times they went right through the creek. And you hope that the water wasn't too high. And so they went through one creek. They went through another. And Pop was still giving directions. Further they went back into the hills. And actually in one of those creeks, they got stuck. Sun was going down low. He was getting quite anxious. And she says, "Nope, we're going to stay here tonight. We're going to wait it out because we're not going to try to get out of here after dark. It'll be far too dangerous." And they actually spent the night in this small little pickup they have. As morning came, there was a train that actually came by. And the conductor on the train actually saw them over in the creek, went down, made a phone call, got on his radio, transferred in. And before long, here was somebody coming to the rescue to help get them out of the creek that they ran. She feels that that pickup saved their lives. She says, "That pickup is precious." And she says, "I would not take any amount of money for that pickup." She's had the transmission worked on a couple of times. That pickup, after sitting in the water overnight, it smelled pretty good. You can well imagine. And I have had the privilege of going and trying to do the best I could to clean those carpets. I try not to do it on a hot day like we have today. You know what I'm talking about. But she says, "You know, there is no amount of money that I would take for that pickup." Why? Not because of the pickup. It's because of the experience they had that God kept them safe that night. And I thank God for that. Now, I know that you have things in your life that there's no amount of money that you would take. I know in my life there are certain things, and I believe that I'm a very rich man. Why? Because I have certain things that there's no amount of money that I would take for. First of all, I have the love of God. He saw fit to look down upon me, a sinner such as I. Send his son to die upon a cross. My simple acceptance of Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. That's what I have to be thankful for, and something that I would not take any amount of money for. I have the love of God's people in my life. And that is something, folks, and I hope especially you that may be visiting. Sorry again. Those of you that may not have been here for as many years that I had. Trust me, folks, we have some special people here. Not only at this church, but from the surrounding churches. And on Friday night when it's concert night, you'll just see folks that come in from other churches. And the first thing, "Brother Charlie, how are you doing? Good to see you." I have the love of God's people in my life. And I believe that makes me a wealthy man. Money. Things. Well, I like golf courses. But I'm here to tell you, I'm no expert. Kind of proved it this morning. I'm glad Buddy back there, he wanted to yell out. He wanted to say, "Three strikes, you're out, Charlie." But he didn't do that. I have what I feel some of the most precious things. That's the love of God's people. For people who really care. I want to finish on this great illustration before we... I know, Hattie, we're getting to the cake. This little story is called Pastor Appreciation. I get to use it because it's near my birthday. It's a true story. Sometimes I feel like the Methodist minister. There was a call made to a Methodist minister requesting that he make a particular hospital visit. The woman explained that the patient was her mother, and she really needed a minister right away. The minister agreed to make the visit and asked for the patient's name. He recognized the last name as a prominent family in a Baptist church just down the way. The minister said, "Your mother's a Baptist and I'm a Methodist pastor. Listen, I know the Baptist minister down there, so let me call him and tell him about your mother." The woman anxiously replied, says, "Oh no, mother has a contagious disease and we love our pastor. We don't want him to catch it. That's why we want you to go." True story. Folks, when you have found the gift of laughing at yourself, you should thank God for it. So many times when I get into trouble is because I am focused here, I am focused here, I am focused here. So many times God wants me to just put it into perspective. Look around at all the people that I am loved by. And hope to God that I have made a difference in some of their lives too. I believe that's what being wealthy is all about. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we've gathered in your house, and God, we've just felt a warm spirit here today. We felt laughter. We felt how precious people can be one to another. We thank you for that, God. We also want to thank you that, as Matt was sharing with those prayer requests, there are many needs within our house, within our congregation. God, we thank you for meeting each one of those needs. So today, God, as we leave this place, when we go out and we deal with the heat out there, God, let us always be mindful of the precious gifts that you've given to each and every one of us. And God, encourage us to spread the wealth of your love and kindness and care and understanding. God, give us safe traveling mercies. Be your will. Bring us back again to sing praises unto you. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Now, Hattie, come on down. I know you've got cake on your mind. Bob, how's she looking? She's got cake on her mind over like that. So how are you going to work all this, Hattie? We're just going to cut it.